Good morning, church. Welcome to this live service from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our first service in 2021. So the first thing I should do is wish you a very happy new year. I just speak out that you will be blessed, you will be prospered. It will be an abundant new year, full of good things from the Lord. Hallelujah. So people starting to join this morning. We're still here on Facebook and on YouTube. Our building is still closed until tomorrow. So we will be back in the flesh, as it were, at Langbride Hall next Sunday. We will, of course, be broadcasting live on these channels our message. But yes, we're here this morning, still online. Excuse me. Saw a really good meme this morning on a church page of a pastor I know down in Dunfermline. It said there's four good things about having church online. One, you don't have to park the car. Two, you can sit here in your pajamas. Three, you can top up your coffee anytime you want. And four, you can mute the pastor. Now, I'm hoping you don't mute me, because I've got a cracking message for you this morning. A really good message. A message that I think will bless you. So people are joining. Good to see you. Thank you for coming in and joining with us from up here in the northeast of Scotland. It's a reasonable looking day. It is pretty cold. We've had a bit of snow in the past few days and a bit of sleet, but nothing lying now. So it's not a bad day. So really good to see you. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Hallelujah. This message is telling us we're the redeemed. We need to say, we need to speak out that the Lord is good. Let's tell people about his goodness this new year. Let's tell people about how much he loves them, not about wrath and judgment and hell, but about his goodness, that he wants them to prosper. He's provided Jesus for them, and he wants them to be well and whole. So let's speak about the goodness of God this year. Let's make that one of our resolutions. I haven't made any resolutions this year. I never keep them anyway, so I don't know about you guys. But let's make that kind of mini resolution, that we're going to just tell people about the goodness of God this year. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that we're here this morning in this place. I thank you that we've come together to worship you, Father. Come together to speak of your goodness, your love for us, your mercy towards us, your goodness and mercy that endureth forever. We love you, Father. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for all that you provided for us. And we thank you that we're able to gather this morning together, to assemble together, to build each other up, to encourage each other in your goodness through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So yes, we are here today. We will be back in Langbride next week, but we will, of course, broadcast our message live on these channels. So we'll still be online as well. And we'll also be starting our online communions and Bible studies this week as well. So if you want to see those when they're on, have a look on our website, and you'll see our calendar up there about when we're having communion, when we're having Bible studies, and how you can join us. Anybody's welcome. So join us if you wish. But today we're going to have our normal Sunday service live. I will bring a message to you. I will pray over an offering that I'm believing for and knowing that is coming in, even as we don't meet together in a building. And then we'll close our service by taking communion together. So I hope you have your elements ready. If not, you can scamper off and grab them maybe during the offering prayer. So let's pray for the word and see what the Lord's telling us this morning. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the truths held within the scriptures, held within the Bible. Thank you that they are like seeds perfect seeds, not like seeds in the natural, but perfect, incorruptible seeds that will grow if in the proper ground. So I thank you for these seeds that we're about to scatter this morning into our hearts. Pray that it will hit good ground. Pray that we will gain understanding of this word. Understanding so that the enemy cannot steal that word away. Understanding so that a seed has the opportunity to grow and produce fruit that it was designed to do. So we thank you for this word. Thank you for these seeds. Thank you for the hearts that it's being sown into. And we speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So I started a new wee mini-series last week looking at a single word. And that word was whosoever. So thanks for the feedback for last week, from last week's message. A few of you emailing me to say you're really looking forward to this message. So no pressure there, eh? I hope I don't let you down. I hope that you are blessed, because this is a really important message. At the start of this new year, you know, when folk are looking for new challenges and wanting to make changes in their lives, you grasp these concepts that really could change your life for the better. See, it's really important that we know what a whosoever is, what that word whosoever means. It's important that we see in the word what a whosoever gets, what a whosoever is given. And important we know the identity of this whosoever in a biblical concept. And it is very, very important, and I'm speaking to a number of you now, just looking at you directly. It is very important that you know you are a whosoever. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs 23, verse 7. This is an axiomatic verse at MGF. It's one of the basic core verses that we stand on. And it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith to he, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's a verse we know, we understand, we live by. We know it is vital what we think about ourselves. It is vital how we see ourselves. It is vital what we speak out. It is vital what we identify with in our brains. And we need to identify ourselves as a whosoever in this new covenant biblical context. We saw last week that whosoever can be translated as all. And that word all means all. No one, no thing, nothing excluded. And we looked at John 3:16 and saw that this was a whosoever verse. And we saw that everyone knows, everyone believes John 3:16. So I want to expand on that today. I want to dig deeper into what John 3:16, in fact John 3:15 to 3:17 means. I want to delve into that and see what it really means. Explore the implications of what it means for us as whosoever's. What it means is you being a whosoever. Now remember last week, I think we could all agree that if you're a believer, this is talking about you. Whatever you identify yourself as, a Christian, a believer, faith in Jesus, a follower of Jesus, whatever you call yourselves, if you are in or of the Christian faith, this verse is for you and it's about you. It makes you a whosoever. So turn with me to John 3. John 3. And let's read from 15 to 17. There's that word again, whosoever. "That whosoever believeth in him," that's Jesus Christ, "should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Hallelujah. passages that we all know, we've all read many, many times. Like I said last week, I remember watching football matches as a young boy. And I would see banners. The first time I saw it was 1978 Argentina, John 3:16, and then 1982 in Spain, 1986 in Mexico. You would see these banners, John 3:16, at football matches. So it's very well known throughout the whole world. This passage talks about the power of believing in Jesus, the power of being a Christian, or of being in faith, whatever you want to call it. Talks in verse 15 about not perishing, about eternal life. If you follow Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, you will not perish. You will have eternal life. Similar sentiments in verse 16, of course, that we saw last week. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And how can this happen? What brings this about? Well, if you look at verse 17, that says that this eternal life comes about through Jesus saving you. Through Jesus you may be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if you're saved, you have that eternal life. If you're saved, you don't perish. That's what these verses are saying. And that is what I want to spend time on today, time on this morning. This passage is telling us that if you are a whosoever, you have been saved. Now, so what does that mean? What are the implications for us as believers, as whosoevers? Well, I'm going to ask you a simple, yet a serious question. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? Now, I think if I ask that question, this is not a derogatory term, but to the average Christian, if I went out into numerous churches and asked numerous believers that question, I think I would get some of the following answers. Answers like, I will live forever. Answers like, I will have eternal life. Answers like, I am going to go to heaven when I die. I am going to be eternally with God the Father. I will live forever in heaven. I think that's some of the answers I would get. And now these answers are true, but only partially true. Only part of the meaning of being saved, part of the meaning of salvation. I would like to think, if you ask some of the longer serving members of Murray Grace Fellowship, if you ask them that same question, I would like to think you might get a slightly different and more elaborate answer. Something like, what is it to be saved? What does it mean to have salvation? Here's the answer. I am now living an eternal life. I have been made whole and healed, and I have been prospered, and I'm now living an abundant life. I would like to think, because of what I've been preaching for the last 11, 12 years, that is the kind of answer that you might get about salvation, about being saved, from someone here at Murray Grace Fellowship. Different answer to what I think you would get from an average Christian. Now, I'll explain the difference in these answers and show you which is true biblically. But first, I need to say that I think this difference in understanding of salvation, of being saved, is a real problem in the mainstream church today. Most see salvation or being saved as a great thing that is coming. They see it as a future event, or when the good things will come, will be in the future. Yes, you know, you made a commitment of faith in the past, but most think they benefit from that commitment in the future. When you die, you will go to heaven, to everlasting life. Yes, that's in the future. To a lot of people, that's salvation. To a lot of people, that is being saved. My experience is that most believers think this salvation, this eternal life, this everlasting life, starts at their physical death starts when they leave this earth. But if you look at the meaning of being saved, if you look at the meaning of salvation, eternal life starts the second you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, you do have your ticket into heaven. You do get your ticket into heaven. You have that promise in the future, and that is great in itself. I mean, if that's all it was, that would be fantastic. But as a whosoever, you have so much more now, right now, in this life, right now here on earth. That everlasting life mentioned in John 3:16 started in the past for you, my friend. It started the second you were born again. If you have been born again, you are living your everlasting life now. You have started your eternal life now. You are currently in it, and you are living it for the rest of your life, rest of your physical life on this earth, and then on and into eternity. And this truth all revolves around the meaning of that word in John 3:17, about being saved. But first I want to look at John 10:10. Verse we all know. Well, if you come to MGF, you do get the same verses over and over. But then that's the basis of good teaching, repetition, amen? John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This talks about one of the reasons why Jesus came to the earth as a man. It's saying he came to bring the opposite of what the enemy wants to bring, what the enemy is trying to do. If you look later in the Bible, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what we read. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what the word says. And who are they? Who are this they that is being talked about in this verse? They are mankind, all men. John 3:16 talks of God loving the world. That Greek word cosmos means the world and everyone in it. Jesus came for all to have life and life abundance. Jesus came to give life and life abundance to whosoever would accept it. Now, who receives this life? Who receives this abundance? Well, it's those who believe in Jesus. I think the scriptures make it clear that you need to have faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. I mean, we've read those verses already. How do you move from perishing to eternal life? Belief in Jesus. How do you move to life in abundance? Belief in Jesus. How do you move to salvation? Belief in Jesus. Those who believe in Jesus, those whose faith is in Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, they are saved, and that is who receives. Salvation brings life and life in abundance. Salvation allows us as whosoever's to access what Jesus has already provided for all mankind. Salvation is life in abundance. And what does that mean? Well, let's look at the Greek word for saved that's used in John 3:17. Most of you will know, or you should know, it is the Greek word sozo. And contrary to popular belief, it does not just mean a ticket into heaven. Although that is one of its meanings, it is not the whole truth, not the whole meaning. I looked up in Strong's to see what sozo meant. And yes, it means save. I get that. But so much more. It means to save. That is to deliver or protect, literally and figuratively. To heal, to prosper, to save self, to do well, to make whole. Wow! And then just this morning before I came online, I had a look at the blueletterbible.org for the Strong's reference for sozo. And again, it says to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. And it gave a little bit of extra meaning. To save a suffering one, i.e. one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health. And it also had some definitions with regard to a biblical context. It said, I don't know what that means because that's biblical to me, but it said to deliver I can't read my own writings, to deliver. Oh, what does that say? To deliver from the practices of messianic judgment. You know, I'm going to have to write better. Anyway, I'm really sorry about that. But it also says, to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of messianic deliverance. So it's to save people from things that are blocking them from messianic deliverance. And that to me is sickness and poverty and disease. So great meanings. It would be even better if I could read them properly. Hallelujah. What does Strong say again? It means to save. That is deliver or protect. To heal, to preserve, to save self, to do well, to make whole. What a meaning. And what a change this will produce in your life if you manage to fully grasp this. So much more than a ticket into heaven. The implication of this meaning, the implications are huge and profound. This talks of being healed, talks of living in health, talks of deliverance, talks of prosperity, being saved, being sozoed. If you're a whosoever, which you are, is so much more than a ticket into heaven. Now all Christians believe that it's a ticket into heaven. You know, I don't think I've ever heard a Christian once saying that if they're born again, if they're a believer, they're not going to go to heaven. It's like, everybody knows that. Everybody believes that. This is universally understood and believed. What we need to do as a church and need to do as individuals is believe the rest of the sozo package for ourselves and for our family and for our friends. Let's look at some of the uses of this word sozo in the Bible. Just so, because what we've seen so far is if we're a whosoever, we have been saved. If we're a whosoever, we've been sozoed. So let's look at what this word sozoed means in the Bible. Turn with me to Matthew 1. First time in the New Testament that we see this word. Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is coming to save his people, all mankind. Jesus is coming to sozo his people. Luke 19, verse 10. Says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's lost people. That's mankind. Another example of sozoed as salvation, as Jesus coming to bring salvation, to save mankind. To get them their ticket into heaven, we could maybe say. Now let's look at Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Hope you're following with me. Matthew 9, verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Let's be in agreement. This woman came to Jesus because she was sick. This woman came to Jesus because she had been sick for a long, long time. Does it say 12 years there? She'd had this issue of blood. She was sick. She had an illness for 12 years. And she came to Jesus with this physical issue, this physical thing. Don't try and spiritualize this. Don't try and say this was about her soul or about her eternity or whatever. She was sick. She was ill and she came to Jesus. And a physical healing took place. The scriptures are clear on that, aren't they? She was sick when she came. She was better when she left after her encounter with Jesus. The word made whole, i.e. sorted out from illness, delivered from sickness and disease, is the Greek word sozo. The same word we have been translating as saved. This woman was sozoed. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be sozoed. Daughter, your faith sozoed you. And the woman was sozoed from that hour. physically healed. Physical healing took place. Healing is part of the sozo package. Amen. Whosoever's are healed. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke 8. Luke 8, verse 36 says, "They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed." I haven't got time to read the whole account. If you read the verses before this, you will see this is talking about the man known as the Gadarean demoniac. He was delivered. He had demons cast out from him. Verse 36 says he was healed from these demons. That word, surprise, surprise, is sozod. Whosoever's are delivered from the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. And John 10 again. John 10 verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Talks of finding pasture through Jesus. Talks about good things. Things to eat. That talks to me of abundance and prosperity. A provision, a bountiful provision. Think about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus didn't just provide enough for people to get by. No, read it. Everyone gorged themselves. Everyone was full and there was plenty left to spare. Jesus provides way more than enough. Whosoever's are made prosperous. Whosoever's are made to live in abundance. Now, there are 110 verses in the New Testament using that Greek word, sozo. I've only used 5. Study it out for yourself if you don't believe me. The evidence is there. If you believe in the word, the evidence is there. If you are a whosoever, you have been saved. That's what John 3:16 says. And we have just seen what it means to be saved. And I just encourage you to study it out for yourself. If you are a whosoever, you have been saved. So you have been healed, made whole, delivered, and prospered. And we see Jesus providing this for people in the Gospels during their life on earth. We see this through the Acts of the Apostles. We see this through the Epistles. Study out that Greek word, sozod, and you will see it. People being healed, people being made whole, prospered in their life on earth. Yeah. We can see that in the Bible, Vic. So, but what's that got to do with us? Well, back then, they were whosoever's. Now, we are whosoever's. And I told you last week, God is no respecter of persons. He did it for them. He's done it for us. Notice I say, he's not going to do it for us. He done it for them. He's done it for us. You see, we have it even better than the people in the Gospels that were with Jesus. We are living under grace. We are living under the new covenant. So we already have all we will ever need in our born-again spirit, just waiting to be worked out. Amen? You already have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1:3. You have already all you need for life and godliness. Another one of my favourites. That's 2 Peter 1:3. You just need to know, to understand, to believe, to think it, to speak out that you are a whosoever and that you have been saved and that through this salvation in Jesus you have been healed, you have been delivered and you have been made prosperous. If you believe you have a ticket into heaven through your faith in Jesus, like I think 100% of people in the church believe, if you believe you have a ticket into heaven through your faith in Jesus, if you have that understanding of salvation, you really should be believing in your healing, in your deliverance, and in your prosperity. Because that's all part of what we call the sozo package. It's all part of being saved. It comes complete in your salvation. As a whosoever, you have all that in you right now, just waiting to be made manifest, waiting to be worked out first into your mind and your will, and then into your body and into your flesh. You have already been healed. You have already been delivered. You have already been prospered. It's already been done for you. In the spiritual realm, you already have it. That's an awesome truth. All there in your born-again spirit, waiting to be made manifest through understanding, through faith, through belief, through your thoughts and through your words. Amen. You have that through faith, through being saved, through being a whosoever. If you are a Christian, you are a whosoever. And that means you've been healed, you have been delivered, and you have been prospered. I pray that you can believe this for yourself. Look through those scriptures. Look at the word sozoed. See what it means. See that this sozoed happens when you are saved and that you have it already. Don't exclude yourself from this goodness. Don't talk yourself out of being a whosoever. You believe you got your ticket into heaven. Start believing, speaking out that you have been healed, you have been delivered, you have been prospered. It's all part of that same sozo package. I urge you to rightly divide your word. See all that you have in your sozo package through your faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that you don't forget all that he has provided for you. We're reminded about that in one of the Psalms, aren't we? Don't forget all his benefits. There is so much more in that benefits package than just a ticket into heaven. Health and wholeness. You know, Jesus died so that we could live a healthy life. Not just being healed of illnesses, but being healthy and not even moving into illness. He died to remove us from poverty. For us to be in abundance, yeah, not to spend it on stuff, but to use for the furtherance of the kingdom, to give unto all good works. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, that sickness and poverty. He came to take us out of that. And we are out of it in our spirit if we are a whosoever. We just need to get it from our spirit, believe it in our brain, speak it out with our mouth, and we'll see it manifest in the physical all around us. I pray that you don't forget about anything that he's provided for you. Yes, it is great to have that ticket into heaven. But friends, he has provided so much more for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hope that blessed you. Blessed me preparing it, and man, I tell you, it blessed me delivering it. I was getting a wee bit excited there. Hallelujah.